شيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. It's nice to see many old faces again, and some new faces. But what we have been doing, sorry, today is Monday the 18th of June 2001. What we have been doing for the past few lessons is to talk about wilayat al-imamat. And we have studied the concept of wilayat through to imamat. Basically, to give you an overview, imamat is an extension of nubuwat, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent messengers for our guide, as guides for us, for our own guidance, after the end of prophethood, there had to be a continuity, and it is extended on to imamat. And wilayat is that concept where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the absolute authority over everything. That is absolute wilayat. And then that is passed over by him to his messengers and to the imams. So we have studied the extent of wilayat that imams have and what is wilayat over the past few lessons that we've done. We then went on to talk about the 12 imams in general, the fadail of Ahlul Bayt, as we saw last time, alayhim salam. And we saw the verses that refer to the coming of the 12th imam and establishing the kingdom of God, as it is called. Last week we saw three verses. And today we'll see two more verses that prove that Allah has promised in the Holy Quran that this world will not end without establishing His rule. That is His rule over all other religions. The two verses that we will talk about today, the first one is Surah number 17, verse number 81, which is Surah Al-Isra or Surah Bani Israel. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقل جاء الحق وزهق الباطل إن الباطل كان زهوقا. You see, you must remember that these verses are interpreted by non-Shias in a different way, which also applies to us. This particular verse, for example, they refer to the advent of the messenger, the Holy Prophet, that he has brought the truth. And جَاءَ الْحَقْ means that truth has come. وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلْ means falsehood has been vanquished. إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا, that means falsehood was verily on its way to be vanquished. Never would it have survived. Right? Falsehood cannot survive. But that is the general principle in which Allah has created the system. Whenever something wrong happens, remember this is a general rule of life, whenever something wrong happens, it won't last long. We may be under the assumption that it will last, you know, during our lifetime, during one or two generations, but there'll come a time when, because it is founded on falsehood and wrong, it will die. This is the system in which Allah has created the things. In Sunnat Allah, la tabdila li sunnatillah. Right? There is no changing to the system in which Allah has created. So, innal batila kana zahuqa. Now, when we look at tafsir, we find the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam telling us that this verse is revealed when the 12th Holy Imam was born. In fact, last time we saw it was a verse that the 12th Imam recited on birth, that now truth has come. Now has come the promise which will establish the rule of God on the earth. Right? So, the 12th Imam will establish kingdom, and any falsehood that we see so much wrong happening around us, where Allah has promised that in al-batila kana zahuqa, this falsehood and wrong deeds are bound to be vanquished. When will that happen? When the true kingdom of God will be established through the office of our 12th Holy Imam. May Allah hasten his reappearance, inshaAllah. So this is one verse. The other verse is Surah number 28. وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ الْوَارِثِينَ. Verse number 5, sorry. Verse number 5. Surah number 28, verse number 5. Surah Al-Qasas. Verse number 5. How has it been translated in English?
And intend we to bestow our favor upon those who were considered weak in the land, and to make them the imams, and to make them the heirs.
So, وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا. اسْتُضْعِفُوا is from the word ضعيف. ضعيف is weak. So we want to bestow our favors on those who are weak, to make them the leaders, أئمة, imams. وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. They will inherit this earth. They will inherit. They will be the heirs. Heirs to what? Inherit the earth. Right? So the rule will go back to the imams. Now, I don't want to go into the concept of Raj'at today because it's not the place. We will talk about it some other time, inshallah. But that is a concept that we all believe in and we all recite in Ziyarat-e-Waritha. Ziyarat-e-Waritha is Ziyarah Ma'thura, you know. Ma'thura means it has been narrated by a Ma'sum. Now, Ziyarat-e-Waritha we all recite when it comes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we say this. What do we say? قَلْبِي لِقَلْبِكُمْ سِلْمْ وَأَمْرِي لِأَمْرِكُمْ مُتَّبِعَ. What comes before that? وَبِإِيَابِكُمْ مُوقِنْ. Right? إِيَابِكُمْ. إِيَاب is your return. I am certain, yaqeen. مُوقِنْ is from the word yaqeen. وَبِإِيَابِكُمْ مُوقِنْ. I am certain of your return. بِشَرَائِعِ دِينِي وَخَوَاتِمِ عَمَلِي. Right? So I am so certain that everything I do reflects that I am awaiting the return. So the return of the Imam, the Raj'ah, is a belief that we will talk about some other time, inshallah. But this verse refers to A'imma, not Imam. وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. They will be the ones who will inherit the earth. So that kingdom. Last time we saw the verse of Surah Tawbah. If you remember the verse Surah Tawbah 33, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this religion He has revealed so that it will overcome and overwhelm all other religions. So all other religions will be vanquished, will be outdone with anything you call it, but only Islam shall prevail and rule over this earth. That is a promise by Allah in the Holy Quran. And that is a promise we are still awaiting, and it cannot take place except with the advent of our Imam. May Allah hasten the day of peace. Now, with the extension from prophethood to imamat, and then from imamat we go on to something called as hukumat, that is rule. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophets and sent the imams, right? He sent the Prophet, and the first time the Prophet got an opportunity to establish a Muslim society, he established a garment. He established a garment of systems. That these are the rights and these are the wrongs. These are the do's and these are the don'ts. These are the laws of the country. These are the what you call hudud and qasas and all that. Criminal code and penal code and all that was established. A government in that small city of Medina was established. So starting from the time of the Holy Prophet up to the time the 12th Imam will reappear, at every time the right of ruling politically belongs to the divinely appointed Imam. It doesn't belong to anybody else. So in Ghaibat of Imam we can say fair enough, but even during the time of the Imams, that right of ruling politically belonged to the Imams. Right? So as an extension to them being Imam, now this is where we have to understand that Imam is a leader in all facets of life. It is not just in the mosque, and we have done this. That Imam is not just somebody who leads the prayers in the mosque, or Imam is not somebody who we go to when we have a spiritual question or religious question, or when we have to learn du'as, no. Imam is somebody who is a leader. The Ma'asum Imam, the divinely appointed Imam, is a leader who is supposed to rule over every affair of us, including politics. Right. So, Hukum al-Islamiyya that you see around us, in Iran at least, because we can talk about that, other governments, maybe governments of Islam by name, you know, Islamic republics by name. But when we look at Iran, because it is a Shiite Islamic Republic and it was, you know, based on an Islamic revolution by the Shias, we would like to compare it and see that whether that model, is it a model that is required in Islam or not, or how do we go about it? Just to an interesting hadith that I was reading to prove that the right of ruling is the Imam's. Harun Rashid. You know Harun Rashid. Harun Rashid called the seventh Imam, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kadhim, salawatullahi wa sallam alayhi. He wanted to return Fadak. You know, the Fadak is the property that belongs to the Fatima Zahra alayhi salam that the Holy Prophet had gifted to the Fatima. Now then it was taken by the first caliph and the Fatima wanted it back, and we know all the history attached to it. And it was not given back to them, but when Harun Rashid says, he called the seventh Imam and said that define me the boundary of Fadak so that I can give it back to you. I can give it back to you. فَأَبَى الْإِمَامُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. The Imam said, no, I don't want it back. He insisted. So the Imam said, فَقَالَ الْإِمَامُ مُوسَى الْقَاضِمْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ لَا أَخُذُهَا إِلَّا بِحُدُودِهَا. If I take it, I take it with the boundaries that I define. If you want to give it back to me, I will define the boundaries. قال هارون وما حدودها. What are the boundaries? قال الإمام عليه السلام إن حددتها لم تردها. If I define the boundaries, you will not give it back to me. قال هارون بحق جدك إلا فعل. So I give you the wasta of your grandfather. Tell me what are the boundaries, and I will give it back to you. قال الإمام إما حد الأول فعدم. That the first boundary is Adam. Now, picture the scenario. They are in Baghdad. Huh? You know where Adam is? Adam is in Yemen. Right? So he says, Imma haddul awwal fa Adam. Fataghayyara wajhu al-Rashid. His face changed. Right? And he said, eh. Qala al-Imam wal haddul thani Samarqand. Which is in Russia. Samarqand. فَرْبَدَّ وَجْهُهُ قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ وَالْحَدُّ الثَّالِثُ أَفْرِيقِيَا فَسْوَدَّ وَجْهُهُ. You know, his face is turning, it's changing colors now. These boundaries that are being defined, Adam, Samarkand, Africa. وَقَالَ الْإِمَامُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ وَالرَّابِعَ سَيْفُ الْبَحَرْ مِمَّا يَلِيَ الْجُزُلْ وَأَرْمِينِيَا. Like Europe. Right? All that. قال الرشيد فلم يبق لنا شيء. Nothing is remaining for us. أكون مسلم empire you want. فتحول إلى مجلسي. قال الإمام عليه السلام قد أعلمتك أنني إن حددتها لم تردها فعند ذلك عزم على قتلي. Imam is saying that I told you that if I define the boundaries, you will not give them to me. It was at that time that Harun Rashid resolved that he will have to kill Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam. Why? Because he knew that Imam, he thought Imam was a threat to his political empire. Imam is asking for the whole empire. But if you look at the hadith, why did the Imam define the boundary of Fadak, which was a small piece of land in Medina, as such a big land? The land is not important. What was important that Harun Rashid was ready to give back the rights of what has been usurped by the caliphs at that time. So Imam was trying to prove a point that what has been usurped is not only Fadak, is this throne that you are sitting on. This rule belongs to us. And therefore, if we are thinking of only Fadak at that time, it is now this big thing that we have reserved, not only Fadak. The rule of the whole Muslim empire belongs to us, not only Fadak. That was what the Imam was trying to point in this hadith. So you can see, even from hadith, we can prove that the Imams at more than one time were constantly reminding people that this is our right. Right? It is not like the Imams were silent, as many of us would like to believe that the Imams never stood up to speak. No, the Imams stood up to point up. But the Imams did not take arms, because in that there would be harm for Muslims. There would be civil fighting, there would be bloodshed amongst Muslims. And that is something the Imam would not do. So, this particular story tells me that the Imam established that the rule belongs to Ahlul Bayt, the political rule. Now, ruling under the law of Allah has got its verses in the Holy Quran. Right? And the most famous verses are Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 44, 45 and 47. In verse 44, Allah says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. In verse 45, he says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And in verse 47, he says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. These are three different terms Allah uses to label the people who will not establish or who will not rule according to the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mind you, interestingly, I must point out that the hukum word is a word that has its application at levels. It has its applications at individual level first, then going up to the government level, which is the mass level. So there the government, the top level also must rule according to Allah's rule. But when it comes to me and you also, we must be able to judge and rule according to Allah's rule. So all these levels, starting from individually up to the level of a government, all these levels, this verse is applicable, that we are supposed to rule and judge according to what Allah has revealed. So if we want to have an opinion on something, or if we want to settle a dispute between two parties, for example, or if we tend to do something, right, at all times what we have to do is to base it on what Allah has revealed. That is the criteria. You see, we cannot say, okay, because there was no Islamic government, right? You know, we can get away with murder. No, we can't. We can't get away with murder. Interestingly, you know, we were just discussing this case today. When it comes to this country, for example, we have a loophole, or rather a social system, a welfare system, in which we can claim benefits if we are unemployed, we are disabled, or whatever it is, right? We can claim benefits granted by the government. Up to now, we were of the opinion, we may have heard this, ke kafir pase chori karu rajash, right? But Ayatollah Sistani has ruled very clearly that if you lie, that if you are working and then claim from the government, that income is haram for you and your children. It may be a kafir's government, but we have to be honest. And honesty is the rule of God. This is where these things come in, that we have to be acting according to what God would like us to be. Truthful, sincere, honest, right? And all these things. So you find that in such an atmosphere where there is no Islamic government does not mean that we cannot apply the law which says we have to rule according to what Allah says. We can do it at an individual level. We may forget the macro model, which is the government. But at the smaller level, between myself and my friends, between myself and my families, and all that, at all that level, I have to rule according to what Allah has revealed. Right? So the application is done at all levels. Right, any questions? No questions. Sambhuj or something like that.
Yes.
Yes. Surat Al-Qasas, the 5th ayat.
Yeah, what we use to
do. English, ma. Ha. Will we use to do. What about you?
Weak.
Ha.
That's the thing, the English is considered weak, but in Arabic, is it considered weak or just weak? Those who are weak.
They are made weak.
My translation is depressed.
Depressed. Oppressed.
Depressed.
Depressed is the wrong word. Oppressed is a better word. It is more to do with oppression than the physical weakness or the weakness in ability. It is to do with oppression, that they were not allowed. Istuda'ifu, that means they were not allowed to come out in their with their potentials. Right? So those who are oppressed are the ones who will... Allah will grant His favors to those who are oppressed. Because of that oppression, they did not have a chance to establish what they can do.
Was that referring to Bani Israel? Or was it referring to people who are yet to come?
It is referring to imams. I mean, if you look at the general interpretation, which is not the specific one. You see, the specific one you get from the hadith that this is referring to the imams. But when you refer to the general interpretation, where people, you know, I mean, they don't look at some of the Muslims don't want to interpret everything from Ahlul Bayt. They want to look at the first reading and say, this is what it means. Now, when they interpret the verse, they would say that this verse is referring to general people, whoever is oppressed. Right? Allah will bestow on him that favor by making him a leader, because a'imma is a general word for leaders. Right? And they will rule over this world. So, generally then it means it is something, an ongoing thing. But when it comes to specifics, when we look at the hadith of the imams, this is referring to what I'm doing. Good. No questions, huh? Sometimes I wonder when I can start taking an exam or test. You see, to talk about a government in Islam, Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi has devoted a whole volume out of his 10 volumes, the whole volume just about the Islamic government, right? And that is basically taken from resources other than the Quran, because the Quran, true, it has guidance in some places, but most of the rules and the parameters for setting an Islamic government come from Hadith. And come from the models set by the Prophet and by other Imams. So Imam Ali al-Islam especially, when he was ruling for 5 years. So all these things are mainly from Hadith, and it throws us slightly out of our mainstream path, because we want to concentrate on the Quran. Right? And therefore I will not go into the secondary details of an Islamic government. The details of an Islamic government, on what is a penal code, what is a civil crime, and you know, what is a crime, what is a civil suit laws, you know, traffic, you know, all these things, penalties, fines, prison system, execution, death sentence, all these things are there. I mean, they're there in the Quran as well. I'm not saying they're not there, they're there in the Quran. If somebody steals, chop off his fingers, somebody commits adultery, stone him, and so on. It's there in the Holy Quran. But it is a very different subject altogether, which I will not take from now on. I mean, what I want to do is I want to end here with the 12th Imam, and that brings us to the end of the Imamat series, and move on to something different now. Unless, and I repeat this, I have a good audience today, I am repeating this, please, if you have not understood, in any time, from the time we started up to today, if you have not understood or you have a doubt that you may have misunderstood anything about wilayat or imamat, now is the time to ask. Before we end and close the session, now is the time to ask. Nabi Yahya was a prophet, no? Nabi Yahya was a prophet.
At the time of the prophet, he had a
control. He was a prophet. You see, There were prophets who had prophets at the same time. Nabi Musa went to which Nabi? Nabi? Nah, year of five. But before he became a prophet, he went to? No. Prophet? Khidr to pachi mele. Prophet Khidr, he met after he had become a prophet and he had asked Allah, okay, is there a person more learned than me? Prophet Shu'aib. Right? He went and he married Prophet Shu'aib's daughter. So, prophets coexist at a given time. And that is why you find the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Yahya was alive at that time, Prophet Zakariya was there at that time, and so on. So, all these are prophets that exist at the same time. Unlike Imams, where there is only one Imam at any given time. When it came to the Imamate, the son would not become an Imam until the father departed from this world.
But there always was an Imam, wasn't there?
Then
so before Imam Ali, there was Rasulullah was the Imam.
Was the Imam. And before that, the Anbiya or the Imam?
We don't know before the Prophet who the Union Imam was. Before Rasulullah.
Before Rasulullah, I wouldn't know.
But at all times in history, every single moment, there's an Imam.
Wali kulli qawmin.
So that means between Isa and the Prophet, there's what? 5 years? But then there must have been.
No, there is the other way of looking at it, that this was brought by the Holy Prophet. And it starts from that, that there is a promise that there will be a guide always from that time. There is that way to look at it. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was not the Imam at the time of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Is it okay to say that?
Yes,
it's correct. Is it correct? Yes. Huh? Ha? Allah. Is it factually correct to say that Imam Hassan al-Islam was not the Imam when Imam Ali al-Islam was the Imam?
Yeah.
Factually correct.
Are we talking about is born an Imam but he doesn't take the rulership? Is it the Imam and the Imam? Is there a difference?
You know, we are trying to. It's a very, very simple little definition to it. The Imam was going to be an Imam, right? Imam Ali al-Islam had so many sons. Out of them, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain al-Islam were going to be the Imams. That was known to Imam Ali al-Islam, it was known to the Prophet, it was known to Allah, it was probably known to the Imams themselves. But until Imam, as long as Imam Ali al-Islam was the Imam, Imam Hassan al-Islam had no right to rule over anything. Did he? He did not. What happened was that when people came to Imam Ali al-Islam, Imam would say, go to Hassan, ask him, right? And whatever Imam Hassan answered was right. But the rule belonged to Imam Ali al-Islam. That does not mean in any way that we are undermining the status of Imam Hassan al-Islam. It doesn't. It just factually points to a fact that Imam Ali al-Islam was the Imam until 63 years old when he passed away, 35 age, when Imam Hassan became the Imam. And Imam Hussein was not the Imam at the time, but he was known to become the Imam to Imam Hassan. Because every Imam left behind what we call Nassul Imama. If you look at Kitab al-Ishad, I think Kitab al-Ishad must be, where every Imam was appointed by his predecessor, by the father. and say, after me, my son so-and-so is going to be your imam, your leader. So that nas is that. But that took place towards the end of the life of the living imam to appoint who the next imam is. In the meantime, Khudani ilmatoe, there is no end. He knows exactly who is going to be what and when. Right? So in no way are we undermining the status of an imam.
Does it start from Imam or does it start from Prophet?
At least before the Prophet, you see what happened before the Prophets, you will see the Prophet Isa al-Islam, the Prophet Yusuf, the Prophet Musa, every Prophet was predicting that there will come a messenger who will have these qualities, who will establish this, what you want, right? So every time there was this indication that somebody is going to come. Again, that was a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the office of that messenger, right? So it went on like that. Ji, what was it?
You know, mentioning this, when you come in God, you said it started after the Prophet.
Uh-huh.
But when we started the whole topic of Imam, but we said the first Imam, according to the Quran, was when Hazrat Ibrahim was given the title of Imam.
Hmm.
So what happened to take care between Hazrat Ibrahim and the Prophet?
Well, Pilato, let me just, for recording purposes, you know, what I told Muhammad Iqbal here was that we could look at it that way, in the sense that when we look at this verse that was revealed to the Holy Prophet, we could look at it saying that it applies to from the Holy Prophet onwards, right? Now, coming back to your question, the first person to be appointed Imam was Hazrat Ibrahim, وَجَعَلْنَاكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا, right? What happened to the time between then up to the Holy Prophet is some, you know, there may be Imams at that time we don't know of, number one, maybe disciples to the Prophets, you know, maybe awliya of the Prophets that we don't know of, number one. Number two, it could be a different method. You know, we are saying kulli qawmin had, not the kulli qawmin imam. So had is a guide. It could be interpreted had is a guide, not necessarily a divinely appointed guide, but just a guide. You know, I mean, there's so many different interpretations that that is as you know, open. But when it comes to after the Holy Prophet, we have the hadith that says that everybody will have a guide.
Just to clarify, did you say that you're going to talk more about the Turkish Imam today and that's finished, or?
No, I said it's finished. I don't want to go into the details of the Torah. You see, remember, our concern is the Holy Quran, right? We're not going into history or details because that is not this forum for it. Yeah.
Doesn't the Quran have more details about the Torah besides what we have covered already? I think it should be quite a lot of work.
What kind of details are you looking for?
Well, it's
to where is he and what is he doing and all that?
No, not that. It's some way related to the Quran itself, but I think one of the objectives could be that we know a bit more about Imam himself.
Ah, that's a different thing. The objective, you're saying one of the objectives of this forum may be that we know more about our Imam. That itself is a different kind of request altogether. It's like, you see, from the Holy Quran we cannot find details of the Twelfth Imam. From the Holy Quran we find the need for a guide or for a divinely appointed ruler to come and establish the kingdom of peace or the kingdom of God. But apart from that, we cannot find any details as to who he is, where is he, what is he doing, how is he doing it, and so on. Now, if you want to study the life of the Twelfth Imam, starting from his birth and on to, you know, Ghaybat al-Sughra and then Ghaybat al-Kubra and who are his Nawabs and Naibs and all that, that is altogether a different kind of study that could be taken by, you know, by us at a later date. I sincerely believe that instead of digressing, because as it is in Tafsir-e Mawdu'i, that is Imamat al-Wilayat, we have digressed slightly, turning away from the Holy Quran But it was an important subject and we had to finish it. We'll now look at the Holy Quran, go into other things that we have planned, we will go, but we will study the Holy Quran. That is the more important thing as far as I'm concerned. Right? Yes. Well, let's put it this way, as far as we are concerned, it will be the end of this world. Right? Theoretically, God has infinite power to recreate. Right? So, theoretically, it is always open for argument and discussion. But there is no evidence to indicate it. The every evidence that we have is indicating towards the end of this world. Right? And then the hereafter and so on. But whether there is another world or not,
Allah created this universe for the 14 months of moon. They never got a chance to fissure it, to throw them up. They never got a chance to lose it. So will they all come back and lose it after they brought him up and establish it?
The concept of Rajat, as we said, where every Imam will come back, we talked about Ziyarat-e Warisa, that we are addressing the Imam Hussain al-Islam, that I am certain of your return. Is it Ahsan? Is the concept that you are talking about? That every Imam will come back. Now, Hadith has got full indication. Our belief is also slightly, inclined towards the belief that the Imams will return. But that altogether is a different study. I think what we can do is, if you allow me, let me just make this suggestion. Look, we continue with the Quran. Okay? When it comes to around Rajab, mid-Rajab, we'll then switch, or rather when we end this, we'll think of discussing the issue of Imam Zamana in detail so that we are more aware about the 12th Imam, if that is acceptable to you. Closer to 15 Shaban, let's put it that way.
We are finished with Imam Ahmad.
Yes.
What about for 45 minutes?
We'll continue, don't worry.
We have to title the text, the recording has to be titled.
Before I put forward to what I have in mind, do you have any suggestions as to what we will do?
We did about 8 or 9 lectures on Maut.
We did.
We did.
Yes.
And on Jahannam.
Yes.
We didn't say anything about Jannah. We're not going to see it, we're not going to hear about it.
Surat Al-Waqi'ah. Look at Surat Al-Waqi'ah. Because he asked me this question about Jannat and Jahannam, I need to just draw your attention to this interesting concept in Surat Al-Waqi'ah. Surat Al-Waqi'ah, Surah number 47, eh? 56, thank you. Right. If you look at Surat Al-Waqi'ah, it is talking of the day. Look at the first few verses. Looking at the first 6 verses, it is talking of the day, what will happen, right? إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةُ لَيْسَ لِوَقْعَتِهَا كَاذِبَةً خَافِضَةُ الرَّافِعَةُ إِذَا رُجَّتِ الْأَرْضُ رَجَّةً وَبُسَّتِ الْجِبَالُ بَسَّةً فَكَانَتْ هَبَاءً مُنْبَثَّةً. Right? This is talking of the environment that day, the surroundings that day. This is what will happen to the earth and the mountain and the everything, right? And then it says, وَكُنْتُمْ أَزْوَاجًا ثَلَاثًا. Now, this is a temporary or apparent contradiction. Azwaj ne thalat, right? Azwaj is pairs, thalat is 3. What happens is on that day, the day of judgment, right? We will be divided into 3 different categories, 3 different lines of 2s, you can say, right? One will be for ashabul maymanati ma ashabul maymana. This is one, ashabul maymana. The second is Ashabul Mash'ama, which is again the left. direction, the right to the left. And the third is sabiquna sabiqun. These are the three clear-cut, clearly defined people on the Day of Judgment, right? The last one, as-sabiquna as-sabiquna ulaika al-muqarrabun, right? Those are the closest ones. Those are the ones that will receive the benefit that follow, you know, in the verses that come after. ثُلَّةٌ مِنَ أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ ثُلَّةٌ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَقَلِيلٌ مِنَ الْآخِرِينَ عَلَىٰ سُرُرٍ مَوْضُوعَةٍ. And it goes on up to verse number 26. لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا تَأْثِيمًا إِلَّا قِيلًا سَلَامًا سَلَامًا. And then it goes on to وَأَصْحَابُ الْيَمِينَ. So this is number two. There is مقربون, سابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون. And there is Ashab al-Yameen. Then there is Ashab al-Shimal. So, three things, two out of which are described about people in Jannah. But different levels. Muqarrabun are those ones who are close, and Ashab al-Yameen are those who are right. And you can see the difference even in the benefits they have in Jannah. If you look at, say for example, the fruits. When it talks of the fruits, those who are close to Allah, the verse number 20 says, وَفَاكِهَةٍ مِمَّا يَتَخَيَّرُونَ. And in fruits from whatever they choose. Right? And if you look down, you look at verse number 32 for Ashab al-Yameen. It talks about fruits. But it says abundant fruits. It doesn't say from what they choose. So there is a difference between the fruits they choose and abundant fruits. Then it goes on to describe Jahannam, Ashab al-Shimal, but you can see the distinct pattern of three different things. Muqarrabun, Ashab al-Yameen, and Ashab al-Shimal.
What is the difference between the two classes?
Ashab al-Yameen and Muqarrabun? Vast difference. Ma bayn al-ardi wa sama'a. The Muqarrabun are, you know, there is an interesting, when we were doing this different levels of spirituality, if you remember, I don't know those of you who remember, I forget the exact hadith, but the hasanat of one level are the sayyat of the other level. That means that those who are higher above will not look at things the same way people who are lower than them will. The differences between these two are the spiritual proximity. And the Muqarrabun are, according to many tafsir, the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, who are very close to Allah. That is again specific.
Is it only there? Is it only there?
It could be other. Right, so before I go on to say what I wanted to say, suggest today, any other suggestions?
We talked about Nabi Musa and Nabi Yusuf. We haven't really talked about Nabi Yahya, for example.
We haven't really talked about Nabi?
Yahya.
Excuse me?
We just did a little bit. We were talking about in the chapter.
We compared even Nabi Yahya and Imam Hussein, I remember.
But it was only one lecture.
One lecture, possibly, yes.
We were talking about the Maryam and that time.
So you want to go back into history?
I mean, if there's anything more in the Quran apart from...
you know, the way we've been choosing topics, like now, and you remember when you did the Isaac Christie one, when you digged in very deep? Can't we choose a topic which is maybe very small, but goes into very deep analysis of different ayahs? This, I mean, Imam has been very quickly looking at the ayahs and going on to second one.
I thought Kursi was like very deep.
Very deep. I think that gives us a better understanding of Quran.
Huh? આરિફ ભાઈ નું સજેશન છે કે આપણે જે રીતના આયતુલ કુર્સી નું કરતા હતા, યાદ હશે આયતુલ કુર્સી માં ત્રણ ચાર વર્ષ ખાલી જોયું આપણે, ત્રણ વર્ષ ખાલી, ચાર કે પાંચ લેસન, ત્રણ વર્ષ ડીપ, પાંચ આઠ લેસન છે. We studied the concept of Tawheed, Allah la ilaha illa hu al-hayy al-qayyum, if you remember. So, something like that, where we pick up a subject with fewer verses, but more in-depth analysis of the verses. That is his suggestion. Any other suggestions?
I mean, Abbas started a set on Hawamim, but he raised his skin through it. I think we only two lectures on that. There's some other thing.
Started with Hawamim.
No,
તમે મોડી
ગયું છે.
Well, of course, I mean, the way we did the other surahs, we would, you know.
We take a smaller surah completely, like, for example, you know, surah 100 and
diet.
And we just
carry
on with that surah
for that.
That's
how we would have to do it. That is his suggestion.
Yeah, that would be what I like to do as well.
Okay. Let's think of a surah.
How about Surah Mulk?
Surah Yasin.
Surah Mulk.
Surah Mulk. Mulk. Your suggestion as well. My suggestion was to do Surah Al-Hijr. Right? Surah Al-Hijr is also an interesting surah. But there are 100 ayats and it could take quite a long time. Plus, there are a lot of issues that we've already discussed from Surah Al-Hijr. Surah Al-Hijr, we have done Nabi Adam's and Malaika and Iblis and Imariyam and all that. Yeah. So there are a lot of other historical references to Prophet Lut alayhi salam, or Ashab Al-Aika, for example. These are, you know, references made in Surah Al-Hijr, where we can then expand and find out.
Also, we never finished Baqarah.
We never finished?
Baqarah.
Oh, of course, yeah. Surah Al-Baqarah, we never finished, yeah. We could continue with that.
So, my suggestion is to describe this more surahs.
Yes, I am quite inclined to do surahs like... You see, the Quran is such a wealth of information. You don't know where to start or where to end. That's the biggest problem. So, which surah would you vote for? Come on.
Surah Mulk,
Surah Mulk, Surah Yasin. The majority are silent, I don't know why. Abbas wa ta'ala.
I think Surah Yasin,
Surah
Thank you.
Dzimal.
Jeszcze in future, generation, the three surahs that we read on the 23rd night of Ramadan, Surah Al-Kabur,
Surah Al-Dukhan,
and Rum. Yes. And we also have to know more about this surah.
Understand.
Why, for example, on the 23rd night, why these three surahs have been selected, and their meaning, their messages, and their fadilat of the surah.
Out of the three.
Actually, if I'm not mistaken, you read the Khan. I did the Khan. Well, I did the beginning. And I talked about the Khalid.
How long ago was that?
That's the one of our meal.
Yes, right.
He got you, didn't he?
No, was it the first one or wasn't
it? It was the first one.
Second one.
The first one I spoke about the Fadila, just the Mukhaqqa.
Can you record it? Record it.
Yeah, thank
you. I think we have a choice between. We will do what Ma'alim is saying as we get closer to the month of Ramadan, so that, you know, even during the month of Ramadan, so that it becomes topical. Let's start with either Surah Yasin or Surah Mulk, one of the two surahs. And I would prefer Surah Yasin for the simple reason, so that whenever we recite Surah Yasin, we are aware of not only what we are reciting, because that can be done in translation, but even the background, the tafsir of it, right? As to what is this referring to.
We will do Surah Mulk later.
Of course. It's not negating Laylatul Qadr. We will do it later. But we will start with Surah Yasin from
Khabar Majar.
Next is Monday, inshallah. Saturday, koi na dekha noi. I have gone Saturday out. Who had come to Saturday? Azad Bhai. Saturday na Swat? Interesting. London Marie Shadu? Saturday na there was a program for the two Hafiz of Quran in the morning at 11:30. Both of them are from Iraq. And they claim to be the youngest half in the Quran. Yes. Let us know, Saturday option. No, yeah, it's the same one. Did you not know about it?
Email my old.